So let's go to prayer now and thank the Lord and invite him to be part of our service. Our Father in heaven, in these darkest of days, we humbly bow before you. We praise you as creator and sustainer of the universe. Thank you for the things you've allowed in our lives this year, especially the suffering that has stripped away our pride and self-sufficiency and has brought to light the things that matter, truly matter. We marvel that perhaps for the first time in history, all of us as human beings have been given the opportunity to look at our mortality in the mirror and to identify with the poor and marginalized, the weak and the oppressed, the outcast and the slave. And in so doing, receive a vision of the nature of God in Christ, who by his suffering has reconciled to himself all things, making peace through the blood of the cross. Thank you that you surround us with favor as with a shield, and we are safe in your care. Forgive us for forgetting our need for you, for living independent of your spirit. Forgive us for letting fear and worry control our minds and for allowing pride and selfishness to quench the spirit's control of our lives. Thank you that by your resurrection and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, you are making all things new. Thank you for pouring out the light of love into our hearts, that we may display that light in every place. Fill us with your joy and peace of your Spirit. Make us a people without borders and a congregation that embraces all people, welcoming the foreigner and going out of our way to give the oppressed a voice. We pray for those who are sick and oppressed in our congregation. We pray for Jim Haney and Barb Jensen's mother, Liz, who are battling through COVID. We pray for Esther Paskey, who's is in the hospital now and will have a procedure tomorrow. We pray for Lois Lindquist for healing and strength as she waits for her surgery. And for Shirley DeRitter, we give you thanks for her miraculous recovery from a stroke. We thank you for your spirit, and we pray as a body you'd keep us safe and walk wisely. And finally, may we, your people at PBC, make a difference in the world for your glory and purposes. Set your ways before us. May all your plans succeed. May we reflect your peace, hope, and especially your love to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. To you be glory and honor in this new year and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for our scripture reading this morning, John has chosen 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9 and 16 to 18. Paul writes, "But we have a treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Amen.
Well, good morning. It's so wonderful to be with you today, but this feels really strange. I so wish you all were here and I could see your wonderful, beautiful, smiling faces, but look forward to that time when we can gather again. Brian thought I might give you a little bit of an update. Liz and I are doing well down in Monterey. I've been gone from PBC now for 3 years, which is hard to imagine. And to be honest, it was not an easy transition for me. It was hard to let go, not knowing what was ahead. The transition seemed like a long labor. I don't think I do anything easy. But the Advent blessing is that it gave birth to a new season in my life with meaning and purpose. I completed training to be a spiritual director. I continue to be involved in a ministry that offers space and encouragement to pastors and ministry leaders for their own spiritual life and lead discussion groups for Fuller Seminary. My heart these days is really just spending time one-on-one with people, being a spiritual friend, being a spiritual companion, listening to the stories of God in their life and helping them to hear from God. It's not about what I can share with them. It's about how their ears and hearts can be open to God. This is so needed in the church today. Well, today I want to continue the tradition of using this service as a time of reflection, as one year ends and another begins. And perhaps this is more needed this year than ever after the unprecedented year that we have had. I'd like us to hit the pause button, open up space, give you some thoughts to contemplate. You know, over the last few weeks and even months, I kept hearing people say something like, 2020 is the worst year ever. The most forgettable year. I will be so glad when 2020 is over and we can start a new year. On the television a couple days ago, a broadcaster, a media guy, had signs of 2020, and he was picking them up and he was putting them in a shredder. Let's forget all about 2020. Perhaps you've heard similar things or thought them yourselves. Most of us have. We all want things to go back to normal, although normal may be different in the seasons ahead than before. As Brian alluded to, there's no doubt that 2020 has been a difficult and challenging year. The pandemic has caused a great deal of suffering, physically, emotionally, financially. Depression and loneliness have skyrocketed. We suffered the loss of in-person relationships, survived a politically charged election, been confronted with the issues of racial injustice, which have caused a great deal of division, weathered fire and smoke that have drastically affected people's lives. The vaccine is in the works, but who knows how long it will take, whether it will be totally effective, whether the virus will mutate. Just in the last couple of days, we have been reading about the fact that that the new relief bill is still in limbo. Like it or not, we're going to carry many of the issues of 2020 into 2021. We can relate to a line from a T.S. Eliot poem, "A hard time we had of it." And yet, even though it's been a tough year, God has not been absent. God did not disappear. God didn't take a vacation. God has still been actively working in our lives individually, corporately, nationally, and globally. The kingdom of God is still at hand. And Advent has been a reminder that God is with us, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Paula D'Arcy says, God comes to us disguised as our life. And I think that's true. As we look at God, or look at our lives, we see God. And my hope today is for us to see through the circumstances, activities, relationships, thoughts, and feelings of our life and recognize the signs of God's presence. to take heart as we look at the unseen rather than the seen, the eternal rather than the temporal. And hopefully we can be encouraged to see that the momentary light afflictions are producing in our life an eternal weight of glory. George Herbert has this wonderful stanza about looking through glass as he prays to see God in all things. A man that looks on glass, on it may stay his eye, or if he pleaseth, through it pass, and then the heaven espy. The point is that we can look at the glass, and that's all we see. Or we can look through the glass to see eternal things. And what we want to do this morning is to look through the window of our lives to see the presence of God. Now, the way we're going to do this is reflect in four dimensions. As Brian said, looking within, looking back, looking forward, and looking around. And in between each movement, there'll be a short break, and Gene Lim is going to play some of our favorite hymns on the piano. Hopefully, you printed out a handout so that you can jot things down, and if you haven't, just grab a sheet of paper, because I'd like you to be aware of what the Spirit brings to mind. I pray that we are simply open to think, feel, and receive, as Gerald Manley Hopkins penned, the dearest freshness deep down things. I don't intend to give you answers. I'm just going to ask questions that hopefully lead you into having a conversation with God. The most important thing that can happen is that you hear from a God that wants to communicate to you personally. And that's what I pray happens as we look and reflect in these different dimensions. So first, let's take a look within at ourselves. Charlie McKenzie writes in The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse, "Isn't it odd? We can only see our outsides, but nearly everything happens on the inside." Looking within is not intended to be navel-gazing, but rather in line with what John Calvin wrote. Nearly the whole of sacred doctrine consists in these two parts: knowledge of God and of ourselves. Theologians call this double knowledge. There's no deep knowing of God without a deep knowing of ourselves, and no deep knowing of ourselves without a deep knowing of God. And looking within is right in line with what Paul wrote a young Timothy. "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Do not neglect the gift you have. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." You know, these kinds of words apply in the midst of a pandemic, just like they would apply at any other time. So I'm going to ask you the questions that Bernard of Clairvaux put before Pope Eugene. What are you? Who are you? And what sort of person are you? What are you? Well, you're a human being, frail, broken, sinful, suffering, toiling. You were not born a scientist or an engineer or an accountant. You were born a human being, humus of the earth, a clay pot. Jesus was born into this world as a human being as well, so that he could identify with our own nature, and he was the same as us, except in the area of sin. This past year has reinforced and exposed our humanness, our vulnerability, hidden weaknesses, fragility, and inadequate world systems. Who are you? Well, despite your limitations as a human being, if you are in Christ, you're the beloved of God. This is your primary foundational identity. What is true of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son is true of your relationship with God. You're the beloved son. You're the beloved daughter in whom God is well pleased. The treasure of Christ lives within you, within your breakable, fragile human body. And this belovedness is not earned through being good, but is a total, absolute, complete gift. It's so hard for us humans to believe that because we see our weakness and fragility. But God sees us through Christ as his beloved. No shame, guilt, sin, failure need stand in the way of receiving this gift and knowing deeply God's love. And our world needs this message in such a perplexing time. And that's the message that we have to offer into a hurting, confused, troubled world. You're also a servant of Christ. You're not your own. Your life is not about you. You are never yourself by yourself. The treasure that is within us spills out to bless others and further the kingdom of God. And usually this happens when our vessel gets chipped and cracked. We get involved in the mess of humanity just like Jesus did, because this is where God does his best work. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power might be from God and not from ourselves. And then, what sort of person are you? How would you describe your character? Perhaps the challenges of this past year have surfaced or exposed things about your character. If you were a full cup, what gets spilled out when you get bumped? How did you endure this tough year? How have you coped? What have you learned? How have you grown in virtue this past year? Are you becoming more patient or more complaining? More humble? Or more arrogant, more gentle, or more abrasive, more kind, or more inconsiderate? The mole asked the boy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the boy said, "Kind." I urge you as you take a moment here to look within, that you do so without self-judgment of any sort and without making any New Year's resolutions. You were made for love, not perfection. I encourage you to simply embrace the reality of your life and offer your life, the good, the bad, back to God. It's real God, real you. So let's take a couple of minutes to reflect as Gene plays. Well, next, we want to take a look back at this past year. In the same way that Christine did that with her young friends, maybe you're saying, do we really have to look back at this last year? But I'm reminded here of God's encouragement to Israel to constantly remember their history through the Psalms and rituals, the things that God did, but also the times they turned away from God. I will remember the deeds of the Lord, says Psalm 77. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your works and meditate on all your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? The idea here is to peel back through this last year and notice the times when you recognize the presence of God and also the times that you resisted God. What turned you toward God? What turned you away from God? What was life-giving? How did you experience your emotions? So, for example, we've just been through the Advent season. How did you encounter Jesus during Advent? Through the stories of Mary and Joseph, Zechariah and Elizabeth, shepherds and the wise men, Simeon and Anna. Who did you identify with? Could you put yourself in the story? I think this year I enjoyed Advent more than I ever have because I was less distracted with activities and allowed myself to just sit in the story. And I particularly identify this year with the shepherds, the lowly, humble shepherds who received this incredible visit from an angel and heard the choirs of heaven singing and got to go to see the Messiah, the Savior, who was laid in a manger. What was Thanksgiving like for you? Did you have more or less gratitude? Parents, how did you deal with online school and the struggles of your children? Maybe you had a sense of loneliness this year. Were you able to turn towards God or turn to things to escape your loneliness? Perhaps you suffered the loss of a loved one. A lot of people suffered the loss, the tragic loss of people in their lives, people that were alone as they passed away. Was God near to you? Or was he far away? Perhaps you had to let go of something like a vacation or a trip to see relatives. What was that like for you? How did you celebrate your birthday this year? Could you experience gladness in being born or perhaps in being born again? What were the significant, meaningful events of this past year? And how was God present to you in them? As I went through my journals, here are some things that stood out. I experienced a deep longing for God as we sheltered in place. I noticed that I suffered relational deficit and how much relationships mean to me. However, I did have some wonderful encounters with people on the phone, through Zoom, and in person, socially distanced, of course. For a while, God had been telling me to let go of a certain activity, but I resisted. I was fighting against it. But then through some circumstances, he forced my hand, and then I was so relieved. Why didn't I listen to him sooner? I noticed a pattern in my life that was painful to look at. But then it was so healthy to bring to the light and pray for God's transformation. Well, take a couple of more minutes here to reflect on this last year. Jot down anything that God brings to mind, and perhaps there'll be time later today or even during this week to reflect more. But offer this past year to God all the joys and all the struggles. Next, let's take a look forward to 2021, something that we have been anticipating so much. And here I have a metaphor for you: gates and pathways. What gate might be opening for you to walk through? What pathway is inviting you to tread upon? Is God calling you in the midst of this strange season to something new? A new activity, a new relationship, a new ministry. And perhaps a new pathway means letting go of something, even things that have been good. As I think about gates and pathways, I wonder if how we go about work will be changing in the next year. It already has changed. Will it continue to change? How will we do church? Perhaps church will look different after all that we've learned through this year. The struggle that we have with gates and pathways is that we cling to the status quo. Change can be difficult. Like when I experienced what I experienced in retiring 3 years ago, there's often a loss or uncertainty associated with change. And change might even be more difficult after the year that we have. But we know that God's plans are the best plans. And so I invite you to listen to God and how He might be directing your path. What are your hopes for this next year? Maybe you're hoping for a quick distribution of the vaccine, or a vacation, or just a trip to see relatives. I know I'm hoping to see my grandchildren in Colorado. Maybe you're hoping for a financial stability or a job, or hoping for help in dealing with a health issue. But maybe there's other things. Maybe you're hoping for freedom from a sinful pattern or unhealthy behavior. Maybe you're hoping for your family to be closer. Maybe you're hoping simply for the freedom to be yourself. Maybe you're hoping for a reconciled relationship or for comfort due to deeply felt loss. Maybe you're hoping for unity after a year of division in your family and in our nation. And then what are your fears? The fears and anxieties that you might be bringing into this new year. I don't think I have to mention what those fears might be. There is so much to fear. And yet the consistent message of Advent by the angel to Zechariah and Mary and the shepherds was, do not fear. Don't be afraid. We remember the hopes and fears of all the years were met in thee tonight, in the child that was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. Moles said, "Most of the old moles I know wish they had listened less to their fears and more to their dreams." Imagine how we would be if we were less afraid. What do you need for the new year? Is that something you can pray about with God? What is the question that you are going to be living into as this new year begins? Take a moment again to reflect and remember, no judgment, no New Year's resolutions. Continue to have a conversation with God. Look around. And this involves people and places. Look around at the character of the people in your lives. Who will encourage your spiritual life and support you in your burdens? Who are your confidants, people with whom you can share anything and everything and still feel accepted and loved? Most of us know the importance of friends, mentors, coaches, companions, and the influence that they have on our lives. Most of us parents have seen that at a certain age, friends have more influence on our children than we do as a parent. The people in our life are critical for our health, growth, and well-being. To whom might God be calling you in order to provide spiritual friendship or be a listening ear? Do you know how much godly influence that you can have in someone's life by simply listening and helping them to hear God's voice? Our church in Monterey this next year is going to try something new. It's a program for one-on-one discipleship called Rooted Growth and Resilience. And this is born out of the idea that people are having a harder time in our world opening up and being vulnerable in group situations. They have fewer and fewer places to talk about themselves without paying for a therapist. Now, I'm not downplaying therapy, but highlighting the fact that the church should be a place to talk about deep things in conversational relationships. Safe people are crucial for our life with God. What will sustain your life, your spiritual life in the upcoming year? What rhythms or practices will nourish your soul? Where is your sanctuary? The place that you receive grace? The place that you find rest for your souls? How will you carve out time to breathe? Blank time is not wasted time. It keeps us from being hard-hearted, dull, and numb. We find refreshment in Christ so that we can offer compassion back to the world. God said through Jeremiah, Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. The ancient paths are hidden. They're not obvious, and they involve emptying, sometimes dying to ourselves. The text says that we are to stand and look, which means that there's very little doing. We look around. We pray for help. And we ask, what is the good way for you? Again, take some time to look around the people in your life, the places that are meaningful, the ways that you might look to encounter God as we enter into a new year, and just jot down anything that bubbles to the surface. The invitation this morning has been to have a conversation with God. And I truly hope that that's what happens. That you spend time with anything that God has placed on your heart. I also would encourage you to have some conversations with friends, other church members, in groups, and share how God has been talking to you through this time this morning, or how he's been working in your life. These are important times to reflect back and look forward. But as we close, we may just want to look up and turn our eyes to the mountains and know that our help comes from the Lord. God is the end of everything, not the means to an end. And maybe our prayer for this new year is simply to place our trust in God for ourselves, our nation, and the world in the midst of so much uncertainty, and to say yes to God in whatever way he leads us. God's in everything. Nothing is wasted. As I close, I want to read this prayer by Thomas Merton, which is so appropriate for the times that we're in. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really understand myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have the desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if you do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my troubles alone. Amen. Now I offer you this benediction. a contemporary version of a 14th century prayer called The Soul of Christ. Jesus, may all that is in you flow into me. May your body and blood be my food and drink. May your passion and death be my strength and life. Jesus, with you by my side, enough has been given. May the shelter I seek be the shadow of your cross. Let me not run from the love which you offer, but hold me safe from the forces of evil. On each of my dying, shed your light and your love. Keep calling to me until that day comes when with our saints I may praise you forever. May we find shelter at the foot of the cross of Christ as we begin 2021. Amen.